Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Nobody like you, Jesus. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Nobody like our God. Like our God. Amen. Come on, if you have your Bibles, come with me to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, and we're going to begin at verse number 20. It's all the way at the back, right before the book of Revelation. We're going to begin at verse number 20. When you have it, say amen. As they have it on the screens, and the word of our Lord God reads, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able." All right, we go. Y'all act like that means something to y'all. We're going to say it again. We said, "Now unto him that is able to do what? To keep you. To keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever." And everybody said amen. Amen means I agree. Amen means surely, of a surety, God, truly, God. Come on, you can be seated in the presence of our living God. And as we've been in our current sermon series, this is why we pray. Huh? This is why we pray. You see, the brokenness of individuals, this is why we pray. When you see the pain in the hearts of men and women, this is why we pray. When you see children that have gone astray, I'm talking about they've gone separate, decided to choose a different path than what they were trained up in. This is why we pray. When you see people that are bound by alcohol and drug addiction, sexual perversions and immoralities, this is why we pray. When you see people, physical bodies racking with pain or ailing with pain, this is why we pray. When you see people who are struggling to operate in their right frame of mind, this is why we pray. When you can look inside the church and see people backsliding for whatever reason, this is why we pray. When people are lost to idolatry, when they make other things and other people take the place of the true God, this is why we pray. When you see people who are led by lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, this is why we pray. Well, you understand there's certain people in our families who've operated in white magic, black magic, witchcraft, whatever the case. This is why we pray. When you think about the generational curses that's associated with your bloodline, this is why we pray. When you think about the bloodline curses, this is why we pray. When you think about you just trying to figure out who you are and make sense of why you're here, this is why we pray. Prayer, simply put, it's nothing more than communication. It's this dialogue between you and God, right? And if we stick with how we've been flowing, many other theologians debate that in the book of Genesis chapter number 3, when God came and spoke to Adam, that this can be considered or looked at or perceived to be the first prayer in Scripture. I got an echo. And if that is the case, we see God was the one who came and initiated conversation. We've been taught to pray. Talk to God. He hears you. Matter of fact, when we first started off this particular series, we talked about how prayer came easy to us as a family, seated around the table. We don't do that no more. Eating dinner, eating breakfast, eating lunch together. We were taught to pray. Right? We pray for this food. God is great. God is good. Lord, we thank you for this food. Bow our head, should be fed. Thank you, Lord, our daily bread. Right? Simple, effective. But it was teaching or building a discipline in your life to talk to God for the blessings that you will partake of. And then if you like me, I don't know anything about the suburbs until I got a little old in life. But ask me about the projects. You quickly learn how to pray. Now I lay me down to sleep. See, dealing with the ghetto. I pray. Before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul. If something should happen while I'm asleep, God, please don't leave my soul. Right? I just want to be safe. And as you got a little older, you became a little bit wise and a little more strategic. And we would pray prayers like this, because by this time, when you're a teenager, young adult, you've experienced church a little bit, whether your mom and dad and a maid you go, or however you went, you understood something about sin, right? Your sinful nature. How about displease God? So then you start praying prayers like this. God, forgive me for what I'm about to do. Do you know somebody? Can you relate? Because some of y'all still praying like that. God, forgive me for what I'm about to do. But if any prayer you was going to pray, God, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. You cuss? Lord, forgive me for cussing. Lying? God, forgive me. Right? So simply put, prayer is nothing more than communication. This is a conversation between you and God. But if we stick with what we've been going with, God desires to initiate conversation with you. And see, sometimes God will ask the question that he asked Adam, where are you? I've come to talk to you. Where are you? And see, the thing is, when God comes to talk to some of us, we do not like what God wants to talk about. It's what we talked about when we talk about one of our other current series where we talked about table talk. When you understand the altar of God is simply put is nothing more than God's table. So when you come to the altar and you make sacrifice or offering, whatever the case may be, you're coming to God's table. And it's, you know, when we get to the table, the kitchen table in particular, in our culture, oh, we're serious. Men, we understand. It puts us on edge when women tell us, I need to talk to you. We're trying to fit. What does she want to talk to me about? You know, it's real serious when she start talking while she cooking, and she real good with her cooking, and she makes her way over to the table and sitting down while chicken frying in the background, and you find yourself at the table, and you're like, okay, this is serious. She got both hands on the table. The kids are not even capturing her attention. This time when she comes to the table, it's at the table she begin to ignore kids. You know what I'm saying? We ignore them all the time. Huh? What you doing? Only when we hear a loud noise, right? So now, because it's so serious, she's blocking out all the noise. And then all of a sudden, it's when men are in these serious conversations. You be like, hey, did you hear the children? No. They all right. Some of y'all must know what I'm talking about. They all right. They're not gonna, then she starts regurgitating certain words you would say. They're not going to die. They all right. So then she starts giving you back things that you would say. You look like, well, sit down. They all right. Those, for men, those are the worst conversations, right? So I can only imagine when God calls you to the table, you feel in a similar position. You know, this is the worst because I don't know what God wants to talk about. And when he talks, he's going to confront. So could it be, as confrontation as some of us are, we hate being confronted? Because one thing about God, God is not going to back down from you. You can't punk God. Right. See, you can look at folk a certain way. You know, put a scowl on your face, and that would kind of make folk kind of back up or ease up a little bit. Or you can shift the tone of your voice. You know, because some of us good. I'm not talking about the bass you put in your voice, but I'm talking about how you get when you be yelling. How animated you get when you be yelling. I guess I'm talking about me. All right. See, my household has kind of told me that I yell all the time. I'd be like, y'all just be lying. And then, you know, there's nothing like a witness, right? Because it's hard to believe that. You think they just be making stuff up, they be exaggerating. Like, you just exaggerate. You need to repent for lying. Exaggeration is nothing more than a lie. All right? And then, there's this person that I know that hardly responds. Now, I'm calling and checking on them. I'm texting and checking on them. How you doing? I'm trying to see if you okay. All right. And then when they don't respond, it's like you're telling everybody, I don't do well with rejection. Why are you rejecting me when I'm trying to check on you? Right? So there are times I'll move a little quickly, right? Thinking folk may know me and understand me and they know my personality. Like, you know, just because my voice gets loud or just because my tone is escalated a little bit doesn't mean that I'm actually angry or upset. You know, this is just me being animated about whatever I'm talking to you about. Well, do you know, somebody was like, Pastor Lincoln, don't yell at me. They on this side somewhere. You know what I mean? And their thing is they're trying to let me know that they haven't forgot that I yelled at them. So now when I check on them, they'll be like, well, I know I haven't responded. So don't. They send us a text message. I know I haven't responded, but don't yell at me. Now, I begin to feel a certain way, like, are you trying to paint the picture that I'm a mean individual? You know, certain words can be said to you that will make you feel a certain way. Right? So simply put, this person confronted me because they thought I was like, hold up, you are not about to be yelling at me. And I'm looking like, first of all, I didn't yell at you. If I yelled at you, you would know if I yelled at you. My voice might have just got a little louder, but I did not yell at you. Didn't yell at you. Because for me to yell at you, veins going to be popping. I think it's on the left side of my head. This vein pops out right here, and all these veins, and I get real red in my face if I'm, you understand? So that's just to kind of let you know me. But think about it. When God confronts an individual, we can't hardly deal with it when God comes to confront us when we come to his table. Because guess what? You don't get to control the conversation. And see, for most of us, when we're in a conversation, an argument, whatever the case may be, you want to control the conversation. And this is why we never have solutions when we're involved in arguments, because we are busy keeping points, trying to be right. Well, no, all these different things, which shows you are afraid to give up control in the conversation. You're afraid to give up control in the conversation. Definitely when you're being confronted. Because one thing about God, he's not, like we say, he's not going to back away from you. You're not going to punk God. God is not going to be afraid of you. You can buck up. It's not going to make God not stop. God is going to be God. Buck up all you want. See, my Bible tells me he's the Lord of hosts. Remember I told you, I said one of the craziest things God told me, he said, I love to fight. What? In the Hebrew, the Lord of hosts is defined that he's the God of the armies of Israel. And the Bible shows us clearly how God went out and fought for them, before them, right? And then the other thing that he said that made it even a whole lot crazy, he said, listen, go search my word and tell me if you see the word smite and smoke. He said, yeah, that's me. I smack folk. But my smack is not like your smack. You might smack folk and they'll bleed a little bit. He said, I smack folk and they die. I said, well, I don't ever want to get in a fight with you, God. I don't ever want to get in a fight with you. So you got to understand, you're not going to punk God when he comes to confront you. He likes to fight. Matter of fact, he said, I love to fight. See, you're not going to hear folk talk about that type of stuff in churches today because we've been painted this picture. Now, he is a good God. There's no denying that. But God will fight at the drop of a dime, too. He will fight for you, but make no mistake, he will sure enough fight against you. Right? So we are talking about representing ourselves, right? As we're talking about prayer, prayer at its foundation is simply communication, right? Communication. You can have no relationship or you can have no trust in any relationship without communication. The relationship is only as strong as the communication. Right? People oftentimes talk about, well, I can't trust you. Well, we know why you can't trust, because there's no communication. There is no healthy communication in this so-called relationship. Right. Prayer, communication. Communication then leads us into communion, which is close relationship with God. So guess what? In like manner, when we're talking about our relationship with God, in like manner, when you have healthy communication this way right here, it brings you into closer relationship with the people that you are involved with. Prayer, communication pushes you into communion, which is close relationship, then does what? It pushes us to have community, unified body. So the more we pray and talk to God, it then pulls us into close relationship with God. And then after we have close relationship with God, it then pushes us to have healthy, close relationship within the body of Christ. Unified body. So you see the importance of prayer? You can't afford not to pray. You can't afford not to pray. So, if we stick with the thing, Genesis chapter 3, like we said, many of the theologians debate whether or not this is actually the first prayer in Scripture. And if indeed it is, we see God doing the initiating. And my question is to you, what does God want to say to you? When he asks you, where are you? And we understand it's not that God did not know where he was or where they were. He did. But now I'm asking, where's your frame of mind at? Where's your heart at? Where's your worship at? Where's your obedience at? Where's your submission at? Where's your interest at? right? So now, these are some different forms of communication, right? A book, a sign, a phone, video, speech, a speaker, right? A whisper. Some of y'all like it when God whispers, right? Not just a whisper, but then you have the internet, or a billboard, or satellite. These are all different forms of communication, right? But none more important than prayer. Prayer, right? And our picture. Oh, where's my picture? Oh, here it is. All right. Why do we pray? We say we pray because prayer is a way we become aware of and experience God's presence and character. And it's through prayer we meet and connect with God. Right? So it's keeping this foundation. This is why we pray, right? So now, as we get into the book of Jude, understand Jude, many of the theologians debate whether or not this is indeed the brother of Jesus Christ. I don't care. Thank you for writing what you wrote, though, Jude. Yeah, who you are. I'm just grateful that you yielded yourself and allowed the Holy Spirit to work through you to pen this particular epistle. Because he begins to teach us about the dangers of false teachers in the church. Not false teachers who are coming and are going to attack the church. False teachers who are already currently present in the church. And the main topic that they're speaking about is this thing called grace. God has given us grace. In other words, they put it in this format. You know, you got grace. In other words, giving you a license to sin. Why? Because there is grace. God has already forgiven you of your sin. God has forgiven you of your sin. But that does not mean that there is not a penalty for your sin that you go and commit. Indeed, there is grace. All right? He would not be a good God, or he would not be a holy God if there was no penalty, right? Because the nature of God being who he is as being a holy God, his nature demands that he deals with our sin. Did you hear what I said? I said his nature, him being a holy God, demands that he deals with your sin. My sin. So if anybody telling you there is no penalty for sin, they're lying to you. They're lying to you. There, in fact, indeed, there is grace. There is grace. But the Bible also lets us know that this grace is long-suffering. And we understand long-suffering does not mean forever. Long-suffering denotes, okay, there comes a point where God says, okay, enough is enough. Right? And then the book of Hebrews talks about, okay, now there's certain sins, okay, now there remains no more grace. There is no more grace. Then Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, don't frustrate the grace of God. See, I wish all the grace teachers would talk about that, how God talks about, okay, there remains no more sacrifice for these sins. He also talks about do not frustrate the grace of this holy God. So, Jude is letting us know that there are false teachers who are in the church teaching this doctrine, right? And this wasn't just back then. We see this now. And that's not to knock those who are teaching it correctly. You understand? Because while there are a lot of people who are teaching about grace, in the midst of a lot of people teaching about grace, there are a lot of people who've snuck in and they, you know what I mean, made it benefit themselves. Because what Jude begins to really talk about is how these teachers who are teaching this are making it benefit themselves. Because guess what? There is something that God has placed on the inside of us called the conscience. The prefix con means with, science means knowledge. So when God created you, he created you with knowledge. So you know right from wrong. You know right from left. You know up from down. So there's nothing you can say that is going to justify any of us doing what we do. Because he's created you with knowledge. With knowledge. Right? I don't know why we're going this route. Didn't plan to go this way, but evidently God knows. So these teachers are trying to make it benefit themselves. And we see that. Because guess what? When you commit sin, and there's another thing that God is, it's innately on the inside of us, there is something called conviction. Right? The enemy tries to counter conviction with condemnation. And see, one thing, and you've heard me teach about this before, both words that start with the letter C, both words that make you feel bad. One makes you feel bad to make you want to give up and quit God. The other one makes you feel bad to say, you know what, God, I got to change this and get this right, God. I understand, God, that I hurt you when I did this, God. I understand, God, this was not pleasing to you. So when you feel bad, it becomes easy for people to play on your emotions. Try to seduce you, coerce you when you're feeling down, feeling bad. Think about it. Some of y'all can relate. Well, let me just say like this. Do you know somebody? Can you relate? Think about it. Women in particular, you understand, this is where a man who you would not necessarily have got with, but he caught you when you had a... You had a moment where your heart was broken. You understand what I'm saying? He caught you in a moment where you were feeling bad, and because you just wanted to feel better, you entertained the words that he was speaking. You opened yourself up for it, and boom, he had you before you knew it. And the next morning, you're waking up trying to figure out, like, why? How did I even do this? Why? And you're beating yourself up because he's not my type. And, oh, my God, I made such a huge mistake. And you understand? Let it be a woman. Let it be a woman. See, men, we were trying to get caught out there hurt. Some of us will fake like we hurt. I'm hurt. My heart was broke. We would even come to you with that lie. You know, I just came out of a bad relationship, hoping you would have pity on us and just like, you know what, see us as a project. See, most of us wanted to be your project. Help me. I need help. I need help. Oh, when you understand the game, I don't care what they say. I'm willing to be your project because I know on the inside you're really not about to change me. I'm giving you what you want. You actually want a project. So here, I'm giving you what you want. That's real. You want to dress me. Dress me. See, where you want to dress me and make me look the way you want me to look in the man's mind, I'm getting a new wardrobe. Free at that. So you got to understand, like, we're not mad if you want us to look like this. We're just going to tweak it a little bit. Like, we're going to pop the collar on that thing, put our own look. Okay, you want that shirt. Okay, I'm just going to pop the collar a little bit, take it halfway in. Like, I'm just telling you the truth. You want a project, and we was giving you what you want. Right? So, communication. Or prayer, I should say, is communication. Communication leads you into communion, which is close relationship, which pushes you into a community, a unified body. Understand, Jude is dealing with the issues that are in the church. And he says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, but ye, beloved, and understand how God is calling. He's starting this thing off. I'm calling you my beloved. Because see, some of us just need to know you are loved. I know some of the people you're dealing with, they don't seem that they love you like that, but I just need to know that you are loved. Because see, I'm talking about some people, and I'm talking about some of the closest ones to us, will make us feel crazy. Will make us feel so unloved. You'll start questioning whether or not people love you, the fact that they're not giving you their ear. They're not giving you their attention, undivided attention. Right? And remember, we've talked about the different ways. You see, most people in most churches are under the impression when you talk about adultery is just talking about in a sense where you go out here with your physical body. No. Communicable adultery. The fact that you can talk to him or her and not talk to your spouse, or you just committed adultery. It's called communicable adultery. There is such thing as emotional adultery, where you can share your emotions and feelings.
with everybody else because, you know, we've trained ourselves. Well, I just can't talk to you about what I feel because every time I try to talk to you about what I feel, you always jumping on like you just never let me finish. Okay, you don't realize, though, because you got the mindset that you feel like they do not let you finish what you're about to say, so you figure it's safe to go over here and talk to everybody. No, you're committing emotional adultery. And there's something called financial adultery. The two have become one, but we got two bank accounts. It could be a financial adultery. And you can't understand or figure out why your money is jacked up. Because there is no, what does prayer do? Prayer brings unity within the conversation, within the relationship, and then within my community. This intimate conversation brings unity. So if you have no unity, why do you think there are going to be issues in the money? Or you feel like you're going to always have more month than money? I said, folks, not going to be real, because you two, it's third Sunday, it's still Black History Month, you got on your African attire, you don't want nobody to know that you have more month than you have money. But it's the truth. Whether you want to say it or not, you have more month than you have money. Because guess what? Just give it another week, and some of y'all about to come up in here looking straight crazy. Face all looking crazy. And we got to encourage you to put on some chapstick because your mouth is crusty and dry. You understand what I'm saying? Because you're fearful. You got another week before the first coming. You're trying to figure out how am I going to survive a week. But he says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. And in the Greek, the building is talking about what? It's like as if you're building a house or establishing something. He says, okay, it's like building a house or establishing something on your most holy faith. So if Jude is describing faith as being holy, then guess what? There has to be a such thing as an unholy faith then. Holy simply means separated, set apart. Right? And the reality, most days, our faith has not been separated. It has not been set apart. So, I ask you this question. Could it be? You know that's my question. Could it be? Maybe the request that I laid at the feet of God had not been answered because I asked in an unholy faith. You have to follow me because the Bible tells us what? A false balance. So if there is a holy faith, it has to be an unholy faith because a false, right? So could it be maybe I have not received what I've been asking God for because I didn't have or ask it in a holy faith, but I asked it in an unholy faith? See, you don't believe your faith can be tied to fear. Some of us are just merely acting out of fear. God, come on, supply my needs, God, because you're afraid by this specific time. If God doesn't move, that's an unholy faith. Right? So he says, okay, you got to build yourself. It's like building a house. Lay your foundation, and then brick by brick, build your faith. A holy faith that separate this thing. Right? When you think about when a house is going up, throughout the stages of the house, the foundation is laid first, right? And it's built in stages. So the stages denote separation as the house is being built, though. I'm not building the roof while I'm building the walls. My roof is separate from my walls, just like my walls are separate from my foundation. This is me building a house or establishing my faith, my most holy faith. Then he says, praying in the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. Now, we can look at that a number of ways. We can say, okay, praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm praying in my prayer language, right? But what if I don't have a prayer language? How do I pray in the Holy Ghost if I don't have a prayer line? Because we know it's true. There are some believers who have been saved 65 years and still don't speak in a tongue. You say, come on, pray your prayer line. Hallelujah! That's all they can give you is a hallelujah. Only thing they can give you is a thank you, Jesus. No, we're talking about put some, give me some Middle Eastern. Give me some Chinese, some Japanese, give me some Mandarin, give me some Pat, give me something. I don't want your English right now. No, I'm just saying. Well, what happens if I don't speak in an unknown tongue? Right? Praying in the Holy Ghost is me just simply submitting or yielding to the Holy Ghost, allowing the Holy Ghost to pray what needs to be prayed, or allowing the Holy Ghost to communicate what needs to be communicated. God, what do you want to talk about to yourself? So when the Holy Ghost is speaking through me, or I allow myself to pray it in the Holy Ghost, okay, this is God talking to himself. God, what do you want to say to yourself? Because when you think about it, he's not going to make a mistake. He knows exactly what needs to be spoken about or communicated. Whereas you, there are many days we go in prayer, we don't halfway know what to pray. You know you need to pray, but you don't know what you need to be praying for. That's what the Bible then tells us, that the Holy Ghost maketh intercession for us. But groanings that cannot be uttered. Because something, you know what? If we would just approach it like that, what do you want to say to yourself, God? I'm just a vessel. Because you can be looking at the fact that, well, I got all these issues in my house right now, God. But that ain't what God want to talk about. Because some of us think God is oblivious to the issues that are going on in you got to understand, your issues does not supersede his will or his divine purpose. When you think about God always wants to speak in relation to his divine will or his purpose. Now, that doesn't mean that your issues in your house is never or are never on God's calendar or his agenda. They are. But what does God want to say to himself through you? Right? So even we say in praying, okay, in the Greek is talking about being in a fixed, this is another way we can look at it. In is talking about being in a fixed position. Have you positioned yourself in the Holy Ghost? Because think about this here. One thing that I always do, because, you know, y'all have heard my story before when I talked about how I got up there and tried to teach. Remember that, MK? Down in Gastonia at the shelter. And them folk were laying on the front row going to sleep. Because you know why? I got up there in my flesh. And God said, you know what? You're not going to be mad. You're not going to roll your eyes at none of these folk for going to sleep while you was preaching. He said, because you know what? You should have studied. You should have studied. These are my people, and I wanted to speak to my people, and you took this lightly. Somebody was looking for me to speak something to them through you, and you took this lightly. So eat it while they're going to sleep in your face, and don't you be mad about it. I said, amen, God, I will never do that again. So I make sure, simple but effective. What am I talking about? Simple but effective prayer. God, I invite your spirit to read with me. When I'm praying, God, I invite your spirit to come talk to me, talk with me, talk through me, God. Because you know I'm crazy half the time, God. I don't know what I be talking about. See, some of y'all are not going to say it. Now, I'm not necessarily trying to speak nothing over myself. I'm just being honest with God because he loves the truth. It's the truth that you know that will make you free. God, you know I can be crazy acting some days, God. I can come wanting to pray, God, but really want to talk about how they mishandled me, God. Talk about how they lied on me. Talk about how they tried to slander my name, slander my character. Talk about how these folks tried to come against the church. All these different things. That ain't what I want to hear. Do you think God is talking to himself about folk that are, when all the lost souls that are out here, do you think God is really talking about the little bitty folk that was talking about you? So he's saying, praying, you know, or building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. In the Greek is talking about position yourself in a certain place. Have you positioned yourself in the Holy Ghost? Because if you're positioned in the Holy Ghost, see, your little money problems, it won't move you. Because I have positioned myself. Right? Think of it like this here. When you think about football, we understand the Super Bowl just passed, right? Or before we go to the Super Bowl, let's go back to the AFC Championship game. Oh, my God, the Chiefs should have been in the Super Bowl. When the linebacker positioned himself on the line, notice what I said. When he positioned himself on the line, he positioned himself offsides. What does that mean? There was an imaginary line that he's not supposed to cross. Well, he crossed it, y'all, when he lined up. And that cost him and his team the game. In other words, think about this here. Now, there was also something where you could hear, even as this same example about being offsides, right? The team that's on the offense can get you to jump offsides. From your position, your three-point stand, they can get you to jump offsides or move offside from your position. Do you understand what I'm saying? The thing is, okay, when you are positioned in the Holy Ghost, nothing should cause you to jump offsides, or move out of position because I'm positioned in Him, meaning I am fixed in Him. It doesn't matter that you're not talking to me. Baby, stay silent. I'll talk to him. All right. Doesn't matter that I have more money than I have more money, because guess what? He supplies everlasting. One of my needs, according to his riches and glory, through his son, Jesus Christ. I am not moved. Why? Because I'm positioned in the Holy Ghost. And you think the Holy Ghost is moved? Because he understands God is the source. Everything else is just a mere resource. It's not moved. You understand everything belongs to God. He's not moved by that. So until we come to this knowledge, this understanding, we can position ourselves in Him, then guess what? We're going to find ourselves consistently being moved. Things causing us to jump off sides, move off sides. You understand? Flag on the play. Right? That's for the football enthusiasts, right? Give me 21. He says what? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Think about the many people that have not been kept. And it's not because see, some of us, we prayed the prayer, God, keep me when I don't want to be kept. Right? Well, that's a prayer that I prayed. God, keep me when I don't want to be kept. See, I know y'all think, okay, I love God. I do love God, but I love some other things. I want God, but I also want some other things. Oh, Lord have mercy. He knows the truth. Sanda. That ain't even my tongue. Woo. Lord have mercy. Mother, I almost imitated your tongue. I'm not going to do it, though. I'm not going to do it. That thing is power. It's power in that thing, Mother. It's power in that thing. Oh, y'all don't understand. Woo. Now, if you catching God's attention with your, I might need to say your tongue. Yeah. You understand? For a second, let me borrow it for a second. I promise I'll give it back to you. Say, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Think about it. Like we said, there's some people, they're not kept, right? Then there were some of us, we believe we are kept because we prayed that prayer. I believe I'm kept because I prayed that prayer. But he said, okay, keep yourselves in the love of God. He said, if you want to be kept, stay in my love. And he's saying, you got to keep yourself in my love. And when we know anything about God's love, that is, keep yourself in the midst of rebukes. Oh, yeah. Folk don't want to hear that, right? Because a rebuke is a demonstration of his love. A correction is a demonstration of his love. A good checking is a demonstration of God's love. So he said, okay, if you want to be kept, keep yourself in my love. Keep yourself in the midst of rebukes, correction, a good checking. All right. Around folk who are unafraid, unapologetically to tell you the truth. Because we tell you what? You know folk truly love you if they're willing to do what? tell you the truth. Not facts, the truth. Don't tell me what you think it was. Tell me what it was. Tell me what it is. So he said, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourself. So Pastor Lincoln can't keep you. I was going as far as to say, okay, my prayer is not about to keep you. There was something called a soul. A nefesh. It's on the inside of you, right? And a part of that nefesh, there is something called will, meaning free choice. So I could pray whatever I want to pray, but you still have free choice. So it's not a guarantee that my prayer is about to keep you. That's why he said, Jude is telling them, you know, when these false teachers, you better keep yourself in the love of God. You better keep yourself around folk who are not afraid to tell you the truth. Yes, the truth that they tell you, it may cause you to get angry, upset. It might even offend you. But guess what? You will be kept. It says a lot about people's relationship with the people that they deal with when they do not want to hear or receive truth. Right. This comes a point, I'm not saying that you don't get mad, you get mad. But it comes a point where you understand this is love. So what it lets us know is you're very unfamiliar with love. Because we all had our own definition of what love is. See, my definition of love was, okay, you love me if you're going to let me do what I want to do. Well, everybody was allowing me to do that until I met my leader. My leader started checking me. Was like, no, you're not about to do that. What? I was not used to that. I was not used to anyone just getting in my face and talking to me like that. Like, bruh. The 2 feet. You know I come from the projects. When you cross the imaginary line of the 2 feet, they automatically go up because I don't know what you're about to do. Family or not? Because don't act like family. They tell you, listen, the first 48, y'all know that crime show. They say, always check the family first. So what is this showing? Just because you family, that don't mean you won't try to do harm to me. Matter of fact, if we really be real, the most harm has come from my family. Oh, no, you're not going to say it because you don't want nobody to look at your family in a different light. But some of your family is raggedy. Some of your family is mean. Some of your family is perverted. Yes, they are. And some of your family has rejected you and treated you just downright foul. Yes, they are. You don't want nobody to look at them. No, they were straight up crazy acting. Just tell the truth and be free. What? You see how crazy that sounds? How you trying to protect an abuser? Yeah, think about what I said. You're trying to protect an abuser for the sake of the image of the family. A family that really has no understanding or definition of what love really is. You teaching me to keep secrets. That's not love. What happened in this house, stay in this house. What? Well, that's why you'll stay broken. And that's why we'll stay bound. And that's why sin will consistently have dominion over us, or generational bloodline curses or cycles will have dominion over us. Why? We don't deal with any truth. He said, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. See, when you can abide in love, see, then you can partake of that rich mercy of God. It's not that the mercy is not brand new every day. Because it is. But think about it. When you can keep yourself in love. And like I was saying, there comes a point where you get rebuked, all these different things. And there comes a point where you stop getting mad because you understand, this is love. What am I going to be mad for? Why am I going to be mad about somebody trying to help me? Them telling me the truth about me is helping me be better. And we always hollering and crying about how folk reject us and all these different things. But when somebody is dealing with you, now you want to be rejected. When someone is dealing with you in a manner that you don't feel is right, now you want to experience rejection. You wish they would leave you alone. What you're saying is you don't want anything to do with love. So then we shouldn't hear you crying, talking about nobody loves me, I just wanted to love. Well, God has somebody trying to love on you, it just wasn't the person that you wanted. So he said, looking for the mercy of our love, Jesus Christ. See, that's mercy right there, that God would send someone to put up with you. To be patient. Patient in the Greek is talking about to endure you. With your hard-headed self, to endure you. With your back-talking self, you. With your ugly, crazy facial expression self, you. With your smart response self, you. With your rolling of the eyes self, you. With your sucking of the teeth self, you. With your whatever self, you. He would send somebody to be patient or endure you. With you walking away, slamming doors while we was talking in the middle of us, and I ain't got to take this. With you, you know what? Fine, I'll walk because I don't want to be you. With your crazy jacked up self, he sent somebody to endure you. Now, if that ain't crazy acting, I don't know what you consider to be crazy acting. As soon as you get an audience, your head snapping, Holy Ghost snatching. Thank you. I'm talking to you. Some folk only want to get loud when they get an audience. You looking like, I talked in a normal tone voice because I don't want everybody in our conversation. I talked in a normal tone voice, and then dare I say, there are some days I whispered, hey, hey. You just forget all of that. I don't care what you said. You have got to be kidding me. I know I ain't lying. You know you've experienced it. Most of us, you know what I mean? I'm not going to talk about y'all married folk, but I'm saying, listen, we've all been there when you was a child and your mama got right in that public place. God, call the police. I want you to. See, that's my mama. My mama told me, baby, you call the police are going to be pulling me off of you. Mama. Why would you say that to me? Because you need to know. No, I'm telling you things that I said. Mama, why would you say? Because you need to know. Just in case you ever trick yourself. Because she understood as a young man, she understood. Five boys in the house. So she's already solved this twice before me. Oh, you're going to start smelling yourself, and I'm going to have to punch you like I had to punch them. No, I didn't say slap. My mama punched. Oh, y'all, I'm saying, see, she had four older brothers. One of my uncles taught her how to box. I saw my mama, she did, I was like, oh, sure. She bounced on them. She bounced on the police. She hit the police, y'all, with no fear. Because the police, she didn't like how the police was putting her brother in the car for nothing. So her response was, oh, I know you ain't swinging on me. Get in the car. He trying to go get the other second hand. You understand? Like, mama. My mama's 60 plus, right? Creeping up on 70. But do you know to this day, trust me, from the time I was 16, I knew I was physically stronger than my mother. I knew I was. I knew I could stop her from hitting me if I wanted to. That's probably the first lick, though. Because not only is she heavy-handed, she quick with them. I was like, okay, I'm not going to ever try you. Because I saw what she did to one of my older brothers. And I was like, you know what? You are a fool. So I'm just going to say yes, ma'am. And just, I'm going to make sure I stay out your way. Huh? So you got to think. God has sent somebody to be patient to endure you. When really there's some people who really want to smack you in your mouth. I'm talking about saved, full of the Holy Ghost, but they wanted to say, Holy Ghost, you stay right here for a sec. Let me smack the living taste out their mouth. Well, it has been some wives felt like, you know what, while he sleep, I'm going to bust his head with this skillet. But God has sent somebody. So you don't understand. This is that mercy. Okay, be looking for that. So he's telling you, be looking for that. Give me 22. He says what? He says, and of some have compassion, making a difference, right? There are some people who are going to doubt. There are going to be some people who are going to doubt the truth that we're speaking in comparison to the false teachings that are inside the body or inside the church. He said, but on them, show compassion. Because your compassion is what's going to make a difference. Now, one thing I've noticed about Christians are the main individuals who have a short memory. How easily and how quickly we forget how God was long-suffering with us. How you kept lying, God, I'm going to change. God, this is my last time. I'm not going to do this anymore. Or, you know what? God, forgive me. This is my last time. And you went and did it again and again and again and again and again and again. And as soon as you encounter somebody who, let me remind you, who was acting just like you. Because it's not just with God that you acted in this manner. There were certain people in your life that you acted in this manner. I'm sorry. No, we don't want your apology. We want change. So there comes a point where I don't want your apology no more. You apologize, so you don't even mean it anymore. So I'm demanding that you change now. You have to change. Right? But even in your demanding change, you can still be compassionate. You can have a compassionate demand. I'm not going to back up from what I'm saying I have to have. So I don't have to be aggressive. I don't have to yell to put my demand on the table. It is either it's going to be this or it's not going to be anything. Why? Because when you show compassion, your compassion is what's going to make a difference. He says making a difference. Your compassion is making a difference. Right? Give me 23. He says what? He said, and of others save with fear. Now, there's going to be some. You can be show all the compassion in the world, but they're just not going to care about you being compassionate. They're going to walk all over your compassion. Spit on it, trample on it, cuss at it, throw their nose up at it, and all these good things, right? He says, some of them you got to save with fear. So there's some people, they just don't respect you like that. I'm not telling you how to save them with fear. I'm not about to try to interpret that for you. I'm just going to tell you me. Right? Me. How I save some people? Because I quickly tell them who they're dealing with. Listen, you don't even understand the grace that's on your life. If you never thought that there was grace on your life, if you never thought God was concerned about you, the fact that you're dealing with me because of who I come from and where I come from and what I come from, oh, God is mindful of you. Because see, God know I am that one. Holy Ghost, please wait right here. Because I don't have a problem fighting them, God. I don't have a problem fighting them. But now that I'm a little older, you know, God's like, you need to stop. You just need to stop. I'm telling you, I told God, truth before God, I said, God, I prayed. I said, God, please do not deliver me from anger and fighting yet. Yet. Wait till I get about 46. Because I know somebody going to try me, God. And they're going to think, well, he's a little old, he's a little slower, he got a little bit, you know what I'm saying, extra puff around his waist. Yeah, he got an extra little marshmallow around his waist, and he going to be slow and all. No, 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 no. I be like, God. And see, there were days I went looking for it. See, nobody not going to say that. That's the truth. I went out the house as a blood-washed believer looking for somebody to try me just so I could have a reason. Just so I can have a reason to unleash this anger. When you're dealing with anger, you're looking for any excuse just to explode on somebody. This some of y'all folk who never dealt with anger, or you never, you know, you play with your anger. I don't know what you do. You pretend. I don't know. I get mad. Some days like a dog. Some days. Some of you get mad like a dog too. Meaning what? There's some things you just won't let go. Cause a dog, give it to me, won't let it go. You get mad like a dog too, cause there's some things you just will not let go. We were finished with that issue 2 weeks ago. Why are you bringing that back up? Because you're mad like a dog. That's all. We just haven't determined what type of dog you are. Folk didn't like that because they're like, I know you didn't call me a dog. Yes, I am. Right? Phoenician woman said, listen, I'll be a dog, Jesus. But I need you to understand, the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. But it's just showing you some of the mindsets that we operate in. It is the mindset of a dog, a beast mentality. I'm not going to let that go. Because if you feel you're not satisfied where we left this off at. You're not satisfied because we're not doing what you suggested. You're not satisfied because you figure because I'm the man, I'm usurping my authority. And I'm not usurping. Go talk. If you got an issue about me being the head, talk to God. Right. The truth be told, there are many days a man wish he could let you leave. He'll leave. You think if you think you can do a better job than me, here. All right. I'm going to say it for some of y'all who not going to say it. Right. Care about the money that you bring in. Because your money can't solve when she feel like she's not satisfied physically. Because you know now when they get a little older, it take more for me. It take longer for me. What is we doing around here? I don't understand, man. Why does it take all that for you? That will make a man get mad. What the world? Yeah, and then women will respond just like that. Step your game up. What do you mean step my game up? What do you mean? It's been good all these years. It's been working all these. What do you mean? Step my game up. Do you want to define what that means? Let's have a conversation. What does that mean? Stop letting me play the guessing game and tell me what that means. Well, you're not romantic. What is romantic? Oh. Jesus Christ. Well, see, but I'm just saying, you'll never know until you ask. I'm not trying to assume. Tell me what you mean. Take the guessing work out of this and tell me what you mean. Things can be a whole lot easier and things can happen a whole lot quicker if you take the guesswork out of it. Tell me what you're looking for. But y'all know women have this bad habit. They want us to figure it out. Figure it out. You don't know? What you think I just said? I don't know. You don't know? You know, if I can cuss, I'll cuss you out. You mean, I don't know. See, my family know. I get as close to the line as I get right up on it. I be like, you know what? You're so real, This is what I be thinking, and it's what I feel. So I get right up on the line, and I just be like, Yeah, some days you just got to leave it there for you. Yeah, I'm taking a guesswork out of, yes, I am. I do have my ring finger up. And if I could put them, I will put the middle one up. And then some days you just walk out the room like, sure. I know y'all don't do stuff like that. I never claim to be perfect. You understand what I'm saying? And if I ain't careful, if I'm not looking, if I ain't quick with my reflex, I might catch something or something. She do has a good right hand. Lunges, you know, yeah. So, you know, I'm talking about stuff that may happen in my house, but I'm also talking about things that may happen in your house, too. I know you're not going to say it, though. Some believers, Christians, but yet they still cussing. You just crossed the line. You know what? God forgive me, because they don't understand nothing but this right here. Mother sucker. Right? That's the African comedian, right? Some of us try to get real close. You try to get real close because you want them to know what you want to say. And then some of us forget that. I'm just going to say it. Just going to say it. You know? For me, I'm not telling you. I'm not going to try to interpret this for you. I said, God, you know, I still like to fight. And if folk ever thought they didn't have grace on their life dealing with me, no, you know you got grace because I ain't choke you. Well, I haven't tried to split your head open with something. You see, me, the older I got, I was like, you know what? I ain't about to be messing my hands up on these folk face. Give me something to put in my hand to just split you all the way open. I'm not about to mess my hand up, hitting you in your face and hitting you in your teeth. No. So I would tell folk, no, you know grace on your life because, see, I ain't came across the table on you yet. Didn't matter how big, strong folk were. I remember I almost got caught slipping. My discernment wasn't working one day. Barbershop, my old barber. He had on a shirt like this. And I could not tell. At that time, he was bench pressing about 450. I'm in this man chair talking to him. I dare you to mess my head up. Because, you know, barbers be like, I mess it up. You mess my head up while I'm in your chair, homeboy. So then he got all, well, we could take this outside. Nigga, what? Edit that. You can't threaten me and think I'm finna back down. I mean, my heart does not pump Kool-Aid, it only pumps blood. You can't, nigga, that was my word. Nigga, let's do this. Then he started taking off his watch. So, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, okay, I know you ain't no real fighter. Because you're trying to take your watch, and then you're going to walk out the door in front of me? I ain't have no good sense. My discernment wasn't working. I'm going to say, thankfully, Apostle was there. Apostle said, son. He said, son. I know you don't fear nobody. He said, son, let's rethink this one. Let's rethink this one. I'm like, for what? Oh, for what? He talking all that noise, like, for what? Apostle mediated that thing and got us back on. And I don't know, it had to be the Lord to make that boy come in and do this. I saw his forearm, I said. That devil was trying to trick me. Because now, if I would have known that going into it, oh, I would have already had something in my hand. Because to know me, no matter where I go, I'm always scanning the room. Because I always expect the unexpected. You can say you love me today, but in the next minute, you can flip on me and try to attack me. But I need to know what's around me to put my hands on and be able to kill you. Right? So I'm always scanning where I'm at. I need to know what's around me. Just in case you happen to get the advantage of me, I need to be able to get out of this. My discernment wasn't working that good that day. And the devil almost tricked me to go and lock up with this boy. If that boy would have put his hands on me, it would have been nothing good. You understand? But that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to interpret this for you. Some people, you're going to have to put out a fear. It may be the truth that you tell them. Whatever the means is, pull them out. Because they're headed for the fire. He says, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Hate the thing that they put on. It's causing them to act the way they act. For example, the Bible tells us, well, the garment of heaviness, he's giving you the spirit of praise. Some people are acting heavy because of the garment of heaviness that they put on. Hate the garment, not the individual. See, too many times the Christian take issue with the person and not the garment that they're wearing. Your issue is really not with the individual, it is with the garment that they're wearing. Hate the issue or the garment, because the garment is a thing that's spotting the flesh. But try to get people free. Why? He says it's the truth that you know that will make you free. Deal with people in love, but deal with them in truth. But hate the garment. I'm getting out of your way. Give me 24. He says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, now unto him that is able, the one that has power and authority, the one that can do, the one who's able to establish you from falling. Falling in the Greek is talking about, or even stumbling. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you. He wants to represent you. Represent is simply defined as presenting something again or presenting something as anew. I want to present you as something new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I want to represent you as being new. The song says, I got a new attitude. I'm not going to do it. I don't know the song. I just know that part, right? Oh, yeah, don't do it then. God wants to represent some of you of having a new attitude. Because as a Christian, your poor attitude have given you a poor witness. Your crazy demeanor has given you a poor witness. Your conduct, your behavior has given you a poor witness. Because when you think folk are not watching, it's when they're really watching. He wants to present you anew. Present you faultless. He's talking about presenting you without blame, without spot. Because remember, the garment is what caused you to become spotted. In the book of Romans, chapter number 13, round about verse number 14, the Bible talks about put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Change your garments. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to represent you so you will not be faultless. But I'll see you without blame. I'll see you without spots because I see my son. And I want to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with his exceeding joy. And he wants to do this with exceeding joy. You understand? God is joyful about being able to represent you. When think about it, when some folk you deal with, they don't want to show you to anybody. Oh, y'all not going to talk to me, but I'm going to talk to you. They don't want to show you to nobody. Y'all been talking for 6 months, and nobody knows about you. I mean, all of your friends know about, but nobody knows about you. But God wants to present you with exceeding joy. I want to show you with exceeding joy. He says what? To the only wise God, our Savior, to the only wise God, our Savior, the omniscient one, our Savior. He says, be glory, right? We know. The weight of who you are.
splendor of who you are. Majesty. You know, and it's talking about his greatness when he's talking about majesty in the Greek. Dominion. He's talking about what? Your might. And then he says power. Your abilities. Right? Your authority. Both now and ever. So through the only wise God, our Savior, be glory now. Be majesty now. Be dominion now. Have power now. To the only wise God, our Savior, always. Have glory. Always have majesty. Always have dominion. Always have power. And the body said, amen. Because it is a sure thing. It is of a truth that now and forever God will have glory, majesty, dominion, and power. And the people say, amen. You agree, amen? Come on, put your hands together for the word in Jesus' name.